People said, amen. If you'll open your Bibles to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25, a passage that you're familiar with, but yet may God speak to your heart in a miraculous way tonight as we go through his word again. Hebrews chapter 10. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25, God tells us not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. Now, the emphasis here in this passage is the matter that Jesus is coming. The time is short. We need to encourage one another. We need to strengthen one another. We need to exhort one another as we serve the Lord and do what he would have us to do. But as I thought about not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, God began to deal with my heart in this matter of our own relationship. We talk about what we need to do when we come to church and how we need to conduct ourselves in the services and our attitude that we should have. Some people, as we know, do come to a service just to find fault. Some come with problems on their minds, and they never leave them there. They take the problems home with them. Some come to please someone else. Some come to really worship the Lord. We feel like in many cases that particular part is very few, and it should be 100%, that we're here to worship God. We're here to serve him. But why does God have us to have this assembly together? Of course, we know to exhort and to get us prepared and to be busy before the Lord comes. But there's another reason involved in that. And he began to share that with me in this book of Hebrews. But let me set the foundation for you on this. Turn to Psalms chapter 23. Psalms chapter 23. You're familiar with that passage. We call it the 23rd Psalms. And I want you to notice something about this psalm in here. This is a personal praise to God. It's not a praise that comes from a collective group, though it could very easily. But it's a personal praise. Look at it now in Psalms chapter 23. The Lord is my shepherd. That's my personal testimony. I don't know about yours, but that's my personal testimony. See, the Lord is my shepherd. Now, we could say the Lord is our shepherd if we're all in agreement with that. See? But normally this is given to us, and rightly so, and we use it. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. I shall not want. It's very personal. Verse 2, he maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. Very, very personal. It's a personal testimony of our relationship with our Lord and Savior. Goes on to say that he leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely, goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. That's a very personal testimony. And rightly so. And we found comfort in that down through the years, and we will throughout eternity, in knowing our personal relationship. But then when we begin to think about our personal stand and our personal relationship with the Lord, and as we go out into this old world, we find that Jesus describes it very accurately when he says, I send you forth as sheep in the midst of wolves. Now, we're sent out in the midst of wolves. And now, it's not like we've got 100 sheep and one wolf is coming in to try to get one of the sheep. I feel kind of safe in that. But here you are by yourself in the midst of wolves, and where you must trust God. Now, that's teaching us to have faith, and rightly so. And where our faith is not in what we can do, but what God can do. But just to be honest with you, that's pretty rough. Over a period of years, it begins to wear on us. We don't know if we can really face them again the next day. And we pray for God's help and God's grace, and he gives it to us. But we feel that strain upon us as we are. And sometimes we feel like we're the only one really serving God. Though we know there's others, but we have no contact with them. And here we are trying our best to do what God would have us do. And man, we just run into one battle after another. And we struggle through that. Though we know we can trust God and he fight the battle for us, we understand that, but we don't do it. We say we trust the Lord and we still worry about it, don't we? We still say we trust the Lord to help us through this, but we're anxious about the problem we're in. It still bothers us a little bit. And when you really have to come in conflict with the enemy, I don't know about you, but my stomach still turns a little bit. Even though I know I'm not fighting, God is fighting the battle. But then in Hebrews, God shows us the other side of what we're to do. Yes, we have that personal relationship. He uses the word our, O-U-R. Now, that's not a personal thing. That's something that is collective. When I say our, then that means all of us are in that boat. All of us are having that testimony. Now, in that part, you've got a limitation on that. I cannot say ours of the things that God has for it is ours if I've got somebody that don't believe that. So this means when I deal with, and God has us to deal with the word our, it means that we're to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together with those of the same belief, same faith, same desires, have the same testimony. In that, we find great strength and encouragement to carry on and do what God would have us to do. It's like getting our battery charged, and we go out in the world and fight the battles that God has for us. And we come on Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. Sometimes I've used it as charging our batteries so that we can get out and with all the full strength to carry on in that. And this is described by the word our. So let's take a look at that, of some of the things that are ours. I know what is mine. I know my personal relationship with the Lord. But what about ours? So what are we to have together in this that we say is ours? In Hebrews chapter 13, Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20. This is not necessarily in any particular order. It's just as the Holy Spirit led me and taken me through these scriptures in here. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 20, "Now the God of peace that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep through the blood of the everlasting covenant." Here's that word our in relation to our Lord. Now I could say my Lord, right and so. But with you that are here tonight, those that we had on Sunday morning, we can say our Lord, and not just our Lord, but our resurrected Lord. That's why we meet on the first day of the week and we come together, because we're saying we have a resurrected Lord and Savior. One who died for our sins upon the cross, was buried and raised again the third day. One who is alive. We do not serve a religion or a theology. We serve a living, risen Savior. And it's a joy. It's exciting when I can get together with others that believe in a living, risen Savior who's at the right hand of our Heavenly Father, very active, and he's coming back again. Our Lord. Isn't that beautiful? The comfort we have with each other, knowing that we have the same Lord, a resurrected Lord, one who is alive and coming back again. And then look at Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1. Hebrews chapter 3 and verse 1, thinking about the word our now as we come together. Wherefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider the apostle and high priest of our profession, Christ Jesus. Oh, here we're talking about now, he's addressing those who've made a profession of faith. Those who are, he says, wherefore, holy brethren, you're only holy in Jesus. Then he says, partakers of the heavenly calling. Means we've been born again. We know that we have everlasting life. So we're talking about those who have a personal relationship. He said, now we're to consider the apostle and high priest of our profession. The reason why we're here tonight together and why we gather on Sunday morning is because we have taken the stand and given our testimony that we believe in a living, risen Savior. Oh, the fellowship we have. We call it the family. But, you know, I've been in families and I've experienced families that weren't together. Instead of loving one another and have care for one another, they were fighting and fussing. And they were going separate ways, and there was no fellowship there at all. I didn't know what a family unity was until I married my wife and was introduced into her family. They is what I call the kissing cousins. Everybody is hugging one another. Everybody's on top of you. I was trying to tell them, give me a little space. I'm not used to that type of thing. And that my family, they didn't do that. My older brother, we didn't speak for years. Not that we were mad at one another. We just didn't do that. And same thing with other parts of there. We didn't show affection like that. I couldn't say anything was really ours. Okay, we each one had our own little world. But here, we can say our profession. Each one of us believe the same thing. We have confessed that we have been born again by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. What a blessing this is. And God wants us to see that. Yeah, we need to come together to realize how important it is to be faithful and to be doing what God wants to because Jesus is coming. But we need to come together to have that relationship with one another because of our profession. Well, what is our profession? What is it that we really testify of? Well, look at Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 14. Now, our profession, our testimony, we're to hold fast. We're to stay with it. We're not to get off track with that at all. Notice it in verse 14 of Hebrews chapter 4. Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Jesus the Son of God, let us hold fast our profession. Now, we have the same belief. We've all confessed Jesus as our Lord. See? We believe he's a risen Lord. And we know that he has ascended into the heavens. He is our high priest. We don't need to go to anyone else. I don't need to have a priest to represent me to God. I have a high priest, and he's in heaven. And so I'm to hold fast to that. I'm not to be pulled aside and want to say, well, we need to be friends with everybody. Well, you can be friends with everybody, but I got news for you. We don't have that hour with everybody. We can't say this is ours because a lot of people don't believe the way we do. And I don't believe the way they do. But to come together here, I can say, yes, we need to hold true to our profession and how wonderful it is. And then in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23, this is where it really is nailed down now of our profession. Hebrews chapter 10, Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 23. In Hebrews 10 and verse 23, let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering. For he is faithful that promise. Our faith. Hold the profession of our... What is it that we really believe? We believe the word of God. This is our standard. This is our authority. Not Dr. So-and-so or a book so-and-so or anything else. This is our authority. Our belief is in the Word of God. Amen. For centuries, ever since God organized and had Southern Baptists going about doing His work in this world of ours, people have tried to put down what Southern Baptists believe. And there's been those who tried to impose a creed amongst Southern Baptists. And we have fought that. We have kept it out. Because you see, our testimony among Southern Baptists used to be, still is amongst some, but it's getting away from that because we're not holding fast our profession. The testimony of Southern Baptists was that we're people of the book. You ever heard that? We're people of the book. What book? The Word of God. Our faith is in God's holy word. That's our authority. Now, we might not see it just like one another do. You might interpret one passage one way, and I'll interpret another way, and so on and blah, blah. But we're in agreement that this is our authority. And we need to study it so that we do come in unity of faith and oneness there. And so again, in that verse, let us hold fast, secure the profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promise. And that's the thing that's kept me in Southern Baptist, is that even though we had those who wanted to have a creed with us and even come up with that, we've had the majority of those said, no, we're people of the book. The book is our authority. The Bible is our authority. And I love to be in fellowship with them, won't you? I love to come and worship people at a church and have our assembly together where that we can, as a group, say, yes, we believe the Bible to be the infallible, inerrant word of God. It's God's word and not man's word. And what a joy that is. What strength we receive from that. And then look at Hebrews chapter 12. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 2, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before Him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. How can we endure all of the afflictions we might have, of all the battles we have? We endure it because we have one who set the example for us, Jesus. He's the author and finisher of our faith. And when Jesus was tempted, what did He use? Did He quote Shakespeare? Did He quote somebody else? He quoted the Word of God. Over and over and over again, He would bring up the Word of God. When they questioned His authority, He went to the Word, His Word, and what had been written in the yesteryears of time. Praise God. We can come together in our faith, knowing that our author, our foundation, the one who has set the example and finished the course, is our Lord and Savior. What a blessing. That's our faith that we can have together. And it's a joy to be there. Then we find in Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15. And this is of tremendous comfort, this hour that we need here. In Hebrews 4 and verse 15, for we have not a high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Our infirmities. As we begin to fellowship with one another, as we visit with one another, we find that we've got similar problems. We've got similar fears of whether or not our job will last, whether or not we're going to get our kids in the right place and doing the right things, and then of our aches and pains, where we have a lot of things that we are in common with. And when we come together, knowing that we have a high priest that knows our infirmities. Yes, he knows mine, but he knows ours. That's comfort. Not just that he knows mine, and sometimes I wonder, I might have a policy to wonder that, but when I meet with others that have the same experience, and you share how that he knows your feelings, he knows your heartaches, yes, he knows mine too. He knows our infirmities. He knows our fears. He knows our joys. He knows our difficulties. He knows our ups and downs in that. What a Savior we have. And that we can have fellowship with one another because it's ours, our infirmities that we have together. And then in Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3, Hebrews chapter 1 and verse 3. The things that we might share personally, that you might have, like my shepherd, I shall not want, personal things. Yet, there are things we can have together and that we rejoice together. In Hebrews 1, Hebrews chapter 1 now, in verse 3, who being, talking about Jesus, being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins and sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Now, it's all right and it's great when I can talk about how that God purged my sins. But how that we can come together and testify he has purged our sins. And you know what that does for us? That causes us to realize that we can go beyond these four walls because he purged the sins of the world. Whosoever shall come, whosoever believeth, and when they do, and they repent of their sins, then they join our ranks in that. They can say that Jesus purged our sins. He paid the full price for our sins. Now, if you want to argue and say, well, you worked for yours, and he forgave you of your sins because you're a good person or because you've done some good deeds, then you're not in our group. Say, well, can you see our group? Our. We believe Jesus purged our sins. He did that for us. We don't have to do anything. It's by grace through faith that you're saved. That not of yourselves. It's the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. And we can come together and sing that amazing grace, as we sung a while ago, because we know he purged our sins. And what a joy, what a fellowship we can have. It always thrills my heart. I enjoy being in worship services with those of like faith that we can say ours. We have some things together that are ours. Yes, our Lord, our risen Lord and Savior. Yes, he's all that we need. Then we come to the matter of Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 22. When God began to deal with me on this subject, he had me to look up the word our just in the book of Hebrews. And oh, what a message that is there. What a blessing. It's amazing what God does with this word. Yes, there's places it talks about our personal relationship, but there's places where it talks about our relationship in this. And so in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us, this is where together, we're together. Let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed with pure water. Now, we could rightly put our my in that, but no, God wants us to look at that it's ours. We're together in this. We're that he has taken our hearts and moved from an evil conscience. That we can know and we share with one another, I've been forgiven by the shed blood of Jesus Christ. The guilt is gone. I am now free. We are. We can claim that because he has cleansed our heart. And then where it talks about he has washed our bodies washed with pure bodies, our bodies washed with pure water. Look at Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26. This goes back to what we talked about earlier tonight in the matter of our faith. Our faith is in the Word of God. And in this, in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, talking about Jesus' relationship with us as his bride. And it's not a matter with me as his bride, but with us as his bride, our Lord and Savior. And so in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 26, talking about the church that is loves the church and gave himself for it, in verse 25, verse 26, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word. Now, we have in Revelation that our sins are washed away by his blood. There's a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. Oh, praise God for that. And as we plunge into that fountain, he washes us from our sins in his own blood. But here he's talking about he washes our bodies by the word. The water is the word of God. As we go out into the world, there's times when I would get up in the morning and I've got a lot of activities that I need to tend to. I need to make hospital calls. I need to go here and there. And so I get dressed for that. While I'm all dressed up and looking fairly decent in that, I remember I've got to do a little task out here. Well, maybe I can do it without getting dirty. And I'll go out there very carefully, try to do some things that and make sure that I'm not getting dirty in that. And I might convince myself that I didn't get dirty. And I might think that I didn't. And then I get ready. As I do that, I've got to go to the hospital. And I walk out in the sunlight. And you know what? I look down and I've got some dust on my pants. I've got some dirt on me someplace or another. As I was doing that and thought I was so careful not to get against anything that would soil my clothes and I'd have to go in and change. Well, no, I need to go in and change. As we live day by day, as we do what God wants us to do and mix with this old world, we have to walk through the cesspools of sin. Sometimes we have to work in that cesspool of sin. Sometimes we have to go to school in that cesspool of sin. Sometimes we have to do business in that cesspool of sin. We are out there and we try our best not to get involved, not to be doing those things that is against what God would have us to do. And we find ourselves getting a little soiled. We might not have told a dirty joke, but we sure didn't oppose it. We just kind of let it slip by, see. That's just as bad. And other things. How do we clean up? How do we get our mind back on the right track? How do we get our lives back where it is? We come back to the Word of God. And in that Word of God, we find the washing. It washes our minds. It gives us the activities to do that makes our appearance so much better, cleaner, and looking in that. What a blessing it is that God has washed our bodies, see, in his marvelous word in them. Then the thing that we enjoy most, and rightly so, and we need to in that, that's in Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15. In Hebrews chapter 13 and verse 15, the Bible says, "By him, therefore, let us." That's got that foundation of iron in it. "Let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." Oh, I tell you, it thrills my soul to sit in the congregation just like tonight and hear with our lips, we lift our voice in praise and thanks to God in the songs and in prayers. With our lips. I'm not to say, well, all right, we need to come and offer thanks to God with your lips. you just sing and I'm going to sit there. No, get involved in it. You might be like me. You cannot carry, you know how to carry a tune, but cannot unload it properly. And I try to, and I, it always thrills my soul when everybody's singing loud. Then I feel like nobody hears me in that. But I'm going to sing anyway. Whether it's pretty or not to somebody other ears, but it's a blessing to God. And what a joy it is that we can do it together. And that's what, with our lips as we praise God. I never will forget the early years of my ministry. In fact, I just had gotten started and God called me to preach, and my goodness, I was finding, if I could find anybody to stand still 5 minutes, I'd be preaching to them. I would preach to anybody, anywhere, any place. It didn't make any difference where it was or what it was. I wanted to preach God's word. He burned the messages within my heart, and I could go out to, we had what was that for the, what? Yeah, Warm Springs Foundation. This is the place where that people went that had muscular problems and so on, that various diseases, and they would go there and find comfort and strength and try to help them. Some of them couldn't be healed. And so we would go out there and have a worship service. They'd gather them in the area that where they had an open space that they could gather them all in. And some of them they'd bring in wheelchairs, and some of them they'd roll their beds in there. They wanted to come and hear. And so I was sitting in one location. I could see the group out there of them singing. And boy, one song, everybody was singing. This one lady sitting in a wheelchair, you could just see in her mouth the words. She was just really singing out. I mean, you could just see the expression on her face in her and in her mouth of her, of that is there. Everybody was singing so well, I couldn't actually distinguish whether her voice from another voice. After it was over with, and went right shaking hands, and there was a nurse standing behind her, and as I came up, the nurse said she was able to say her first word this week. And she slowly but surely mouthed the word, hello. But with her lips, she praised God. Whether any sound came out or not, you knew exactly what she was saying. With our lips together. What a joy. What a privilege is. And so we're here tonight. And we'll be here Wednesday nights and Sunday mornings. We're all here because of what is ours. Don't come just because of what is yours, but come and join the group, what is ours, and let God thrill your soul, charge your battery, and send you out into this world and be the light that it has to be.